With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
As God, through His Son, formed the earth, He made man in His image and said, through Adam, I want you to fill this earth. Now, God has sent a second Adam, His Son Jesus Christ. And through the second Adam, He has said, fill up what I'm about to form, a new heavens and a new earth. He formed and said, fill. Now He's filling, and when it gets filled up, He'll form it, the new heavens and the new earth.
Welcome, and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today, Harry Reeder brings us part one of the message, His Heart, Our Vision. We continue with our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. When Jesus appeared to His disciples again after His resurrection, He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures, saying, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." He made them understand that the Old Testament Scriptures not only pointed to Him, but pointed out that His truth, His gospel, His saving work on the cross, and His triumphant resurrection were to be proclaimed to the nations. How can the church make it our vision to truly reflect God's heart for missions? If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Luke chapter 24 and verses 44 through 53. Here again is Harry Reeder with part one of the message, His Heart, Our Vision.
Now look with me in Luke 24 and verse 44. This is the 14th appearance of Christ after the resurrection. Then He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The grass withers and the flower fades. God's word abides forever. By His grace and mercy, may it be preached for you." And look with me at this open text, Luke 24. I love missions conferences. This has been a great week. I love to see the missionaries be encouraged. I love to see you informed and inspired and encouraged, because our God's heart for the world becomes our vision to take the gospel to the world. I also love it because Cindy and I know you and your family, and I do hope and pray you take the time to walk your children through this as a family. This is a great learning experience, a great commitment time as a family. We work our way through it. Of course, the front side has to do with our faith promise giving, whereby we look to the Lord and ask the Lord, "Lord, what is it you want to give through me?" When I was a kid growing up, I remember the pastor that said, "The Lord will get to you what He knows will get through you." And so, Lord, what is it? You'll get through me. That's my promise. What is it you'll get to me? And by faith, I am looking to you. And you prayed about that. And some of you, if I could sit down with you individually, I would share this with you. So if you don't mind, I'm going to do it. How do Cindy and I get here every year? Well, here's the way we do it. We pray about it individually, and then we come together and we take three steps. I call it the three S's: supernatural, systematic, and sacrificial. And so we pray supernaturally, what do we think God's going to take from the Egyptians and give to us? Now, meaning not Egypt, but everybody. You know, remember when Israel came out and they just were throwing gold at him, said, would you get out of here? All right, God, what will the world give to me from your divine hand that I can now give to world evangelism? And that's what so we pray about that supernaturally. Well, you know, we've already, like you, we've already been through our every member commitment. Here's our tithe. Here's our regular giving. We've already set that aside, and knowing how that's going to be used out of this congregation. Now, God, faith promise that'll be 100% committed to world evangelism, cross-cultural, church planting, church revitalization, leadership development, gospel deeds of love, mercy, and justice, cross-culturally out there in the world. Now, Father, what is it that we believe you're going to get through us? And we'll pray about that. Then we will decide. We do it systematically. We give ours once a month. That's the way we do it. That's our systematic way. And then the third way is, you say, Harry, what if he hadn't supernaturally brought that yet? Well, the reason we can give it once a month is because we have a third S. It's called sacrifice. You know, it's interesting, this beginning with Ash Wednesday, people talk about what they're going to give up for Lent and everything, and that's okay. I understand the purpose behind all of that. But Cindy and I, what we try to do every year is we try to anticipate what can we give up, and from that, whatever it was we were planning on doing, take the finances that would have been used for that, and we just add it to what we believe. So that's our sacrificial part. So an offering has sacrifice to it. So what is it that we can sacrifice to go with what we believe coming supernaturally, to systematically set aside every year? And then we come to that conclusion. Now, we had a little debate this year. That's always fun. We don't need marital counseling, but we did have a little debate this year. Cindy won. So it went up a little bit more than I had anticipated, but she won. And hopefully the Lord won. That's who won in this thing. And then so we then make our commitment with you and the missionaries up here. We do it here just like, we're just kind of reflecting in the Old Testament. The apostles, they would bring the offering to the feet of the apostles. Now, we don't have apostles capital A, but we got apostles small A, sent ones. So we bring them up here and we make that commitment. And that's how we get there. But by the way, the card is more than that, and it's really important that you understand that. Look on the back side. On the back side, it says, I will develop a strategic prayer plan. What will be your prayer plan? Now, brothers and sisters, this is crucial. You've heard the missionaries this week. You've heard from other people how important intercessory prayer. What did Jesus say? This is my Father's house. It shall be called what? A house of what? Prayer for the nations. Now, I don't know how you're going to do it. You may have zeroed in on some missionaries. You may be, you know, like I started out, Lord, here's the missionary list. Please remember the missionaries on the list. But I encourage you to get a little bit more personal. And you may want to work through continents. You may want to work through areas. I don't know, but develop this year a strategic prayer plan for world evangelism. Then another thing, I currently give to missions. You may want to let us know that. I know fully well that much more than what is given through our faith promise comes out of this congregation. Cindy and I have some things that we give to offerings beyond our faith promise offering to various situations. And so if you'll check that so we can pray for God's blessing upon you in that area of what you're giving outside. Now, I enjoy giving through the Briarwood Minute, because all these missionaries you've met, I know they're accountable, I know they're prayed up, I know what they're doing, and I know that's not superficial, it's not superfluous, it is something that's important, and God is blessing them, and I'm fully aware of it. There's accountability that's built in, as well as the opportunity to encourage. That's why I enjoy focusing, Cindy and I enjoy working through our Briarwood Faith Promise. But also let us know so we can pray about that. As I said, Cindy and I have those as well. Then the third thing, I'd like for the missions pastor to contact me in the following areas. I want to serve on the global missions team. May I challenge some of you younger folks here? Would you pray about being on the missions team, that you could be developed on this team for the coming generations? I want to talk to the pastor. I want to talk to our missions pastor about one of the special projects. You know, this year we have a $2.1 plus million dollar goal to get us and keep us moving forward in what we're committed to, with some slight development. But we've got a challenge goal of 2.2 million plus, and in that is a leadership development project for the pastors and lay leaders of Nicaragua, of Vietnam, of scripture distribution both written and technological that we want to get done. And folks, I think this is very important. I believe that what's happening technologically is akin to the Gutenberg press that God used for the Reformation. And we've got some special projects in relationship to that. And then the other thing is the orphans and foster care internationally, as well as, of course, some things we want to do here. But orphans and foster care internationally, there is a childless ministry that we'd like to do as well, to add to, if we can get to that $2.2 million goal. So you may want to know about one of those projects. You may want to teach English as a second language. And in fact, you can teach Southern English as a second language. You can, you may be a part of our partnership with the International Ministry here in Birmingham, or you may just need some help, and or you just want to know some more about other mission endeavors. So that's where we are. Now, if you can back up with me, where we are today is this. We've been walking through the foundational elements. God has blessed this congregation so that we celebrated our 50th year last year, and now we're moving into the next 50 years or until Jesus comes back again. So we've been taking the time to look at how God so builds His church. What are the basic elements? And we've been walking through Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, on the lifelines of prayer and the Word. We've been doing all of that. We looked at God's mandate, our mission, and that is to make disciples of all the nations. Now, today, I just want to take, I've only got a few moments, so please, I'm going to have to talk fast, you listen fast, okay? So here's the deal. God's heart, our vision. God's heart, our vision. God's heart, our vision, when we go forward into the world. This is my Father's world. God's heart for the world to hear the gospel, so that from every tribe and nation, His people will be called to give Him praise in the new heavens and the new earth. Here's the way to look at it. As God, through His Son, formed the earth, He made man in His image and said, through Adam, I want you to fill this earth. Now, God has sent a second Adam, His Son Jesus Christ. And through the second Adam, He has said, fill up what I'm about to form, a new heavens and a new earth. He formed and said, fill. Now, He's filling, and when it gets filled up, He'll form it, the new heavens and the new earth. And that's what we're doing. We're filling it up by embracing what God has called us to do. That's His heart, the gospel to His world, to all the nations, and that becomes our vision. Now, Briarwood imperfectly has fulfilled that mission statement. So let me remind you of our mission statement. It's simply this. For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians to worship God and reach Birmingham, to reach the world for Christ. To reach Birmingham, to reach the world for Christ. That's intentional on our part. That's our mission. That's God's mandate. Our mission is to equip Christians who will worship and reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. That's what God's called us to do. Now, imperfectly, but gratefully and gracious by God's grace, we've been growing in that for 50 years. We've been embracing that personally. God's call from our members right now, with almost 400 missionaries that are out there that we're supporting, over 100 of them are actual members of this church. Over the 50 years, by God's grace, over 1,000, almost, well, it's right at 1,000 missionaries have been sent out. 400 plus have been sent to national and local missions, over 500 to world missions, over 50 years. And by the way, we're on our way. Next 50, we've already sent 6 out this year. We got some more sending out this year. So we're on our way to the next 500 or 600, however many God allows us to do until Jesus comes back again. Over the lap, through that faith promise, moments like this in the life of this congregation, over $42 million has gone for world evangelism. I'm not talking about national and local, world evangelism through faith promise giving. You know, a fellow said to me the other day, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, what? He said, you know, I was talking with someone about a church that at the end of the year, they had a surplus and they gave over 50% to missions and mercy. He said, don't you think that's a good idea? I said, oh, I got a better idea. I actually was brought to a church that said not 50% of the surplus, 50% of the budget goes every year to missions and mercy. You ought to see what happens to the surplus. But 50% of the budget goes. A key element of that 50% of our budget that goes is our faith promise time every year. That's a key element of it. Over 50% would end up going for the cause locally, regionally, nationally, and internationally. Faith promise is the way that we extend it out there in a very specific way. And so, you know, our sons and daughters have gone. We've gone. Short-term mission trips, leadership, strategic thinking, faith promise giving. How many prayers have ascended from this guy? Can I tell you something that was so encouraging to me this week? I had three different missionaries come to me and said, you know, Pastor, something unusual has happened to me. Now, they didn't all say it this way, so I'm going to sum it up. Here's what they said to me. We kept running into people that are praying for us. He said, you know, did you know your congregation is actually praying for us? He said they knew our needs and they had actually been praying for us. You know, folks, I don't know how many times that's repeated, that you actually are embracing intercessory prayer for the nations through these missionaries. Now we're moving forward. Those next ones of our sons and daughters, those next short-term mission trips, starting faith promise, moving to the next 50 years. What will God do through us starting this year as we move forward? All of that's in front of us. Now, why do we do that? Because it's God's heart, and that's become our vision. Let me show you from the Scripture very briefly. Take your Bibles and look with me. Luke 24. Jesus has this 14th appearance after the resurrection, and in it he talks to his disciples, and this is what he says to them. He opens their minds to understand the Scriptures. Now, this is tremendous. He opens their mind to understand the Scriptures, and he says, now this is what the Bible says. Look at verse 46. The Bible says, it has been written that Christ, I am the fulfillment of the Psalms, the prophets, and the law. I am the fulfillment. All that's written in the law of Moses and the prophets must be fulfilled. Now, what is the fulfillment? I'm the fulfillment. The Scriptures bear witness of me. And they specifically bear witness that I will suffer and die and be raised from the dead. That I will do the intercessory work to save you from your sins. The glorious gospel shall be secured because Christ goes to the cross and saves his people from their sins. But let me tell you something else the Bible is telling you. All the way from Abraham, he said, Abraham, in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That the Old Testament Scriptures not only pointed to me, but pointed that my truth, my gospel, my saving work on the cross, triumphant resurrection, is to be proclaimed to the nations, starting with your own. See, he says this, that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now, you're the witnesses. You're the missionaries. Remember our vision statement for coming generations? Briarwood desires to be a Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, equipping church where every member is a missionary. You're my witnesses. And every member is a minister. So he says, that's my Father's heart. My Father's heart is for that. Can you imagine, when he says, from Jerusalem to all the nations, can't you imagine the things starting to click in their mind? Oh my goodness, just a couple of days ago, we were standing in the temple and we asked him, when will be the end of the age? And he said to us, the end of the age, you will know the end of the age because the age will end when my gospel has been preached to all the nations. Then shall come the end. Now, just a couple of days later, he says, by the way, that's your task. Can I tell you something else? Not only will the preaching of the gospel to all the nations, you know, see, as far as I understand, folks, there's two things got to happen before Jesus comes back. Jesus is coming back. Amen? Let me try that again. Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Okay. I explained to the missionaries earlier that we do amens here. Presbyterians know how to amen. We just have to tell them where it belongs. That's all. Okay? He's coming again. Amen. When is he coming again? He's coming when two things happen. One, all of the elect have been saved from all the tribes and the nations. Two, he is coming again when the gospel, which is how all of these people will be brought, when the gospel has been preached to all the nations. That's when he's coming. That's why when Peter's talking about hastening the coming of the Lord, he's talking about missions. That's what he's talking about. When we talk about come quickly, Lord Jesus, what we're talking about is missions. The gospel to all the nations, to gather all of his people in from every tribe and nation. And now he says, then shall come the end. And by the way, I'll be with you to the end of the age. I mean, this is a sublimely ridiculous statement, isn't it? I mean, folks, stop with me. Who's he talking to? People that just a few days earlier were running, hiding. And we got about 120 people. Yeah, there's some rich and some poor and some men and some women and everything, but kind of a ragtag group here. 120. And I'm going to shake the world with you. Is that not sublimely ridiculous? What a vision. How can this thing possibly happen? I mean, I'd kind of look around at the 120 and say, now, how is this going to get pulled off? How is it going to get pulled off? He said, well, let me tell you how. I got two encouragements for you. Encouragement number one, I will be with you to the end of the age. I'll give you the power. The promise of the Father will come to you, the Holy Spirit. And so now the sublimely ridiculous becomes highly feasible. The impossible mission becomes possible. And then he says a second thing, not only from the resurrection will I send the Holy Spirit, but you remember that cross that I was on? When I saved my people from my sins, he says this. Let me give you the vision. Look, the fields are white unto harvest. Because of his work on the cross to save his people from their sins, the fields, every field, all these flags and more, the fields are white unto harvest. I have saved my people. Now, send and pray for the laborers to go. Send and pray, not to prepare the field. I've prepared the field. Go harvest the field. That's what I've called you to do. And so Jesus gives this glorious word to us in the Gospel of Luke. And then Luke has another word for us. Take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 1. He's got another word for us. In Acts chapter 1, Luke again is writing, and he records this amazing moment. We move from the 14th appearance of Christ to the 15th appearance. I tell you what, hold it. Keep your finger there in Acts 1. Go back to Luke 24 for a moment. I wanted to do something there. He's promised them power from on high, the Holy Spirit, which is how he's going to be with us to the end of the age. And then in verse 50, then he led them out. After giving them this instruction, he then led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This conclusion of the Gospel of Luke, he then fills in the blanks in the opening paragraphs of his next volume, Acts chapter 1. Now let's fill in the blanks. Go to Acts chapter 1. What happened? He led them out. They went to Bethany. It was there that he ascended. And look at verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. Okay, we've heard that. Wait for the promise from the Father. That's the Holy Spirit, which he has said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has lived by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. And when he said these things, they were looking on. He was lifted up and a cloud took him out of his sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of heaven, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So he's coming again. When will he come again? When the gospel with power through the witness of his church will go from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, to the other. See the concentric circles? Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria. And the whole book of Acts is Acts chapter 1 through 8 is Jerusalem. 9 through 12 is Judea, then Samaria. And then chapters 13 is throughout the world. That is the very unfolding of it. And that's exactly why we say from Birmingham, there's our Jerusalem, into the south and into North America and throughout the whole world, that we want to be witness for Jesus Christ. These concentric circles working out. out. So it's come from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and it's come to us in the world. Now from us, it'll go from Birmingham. It'll go from Birmingham to the south, to North America, and to the world. And that's what God has called us to do. And that's where God's vision is, that we would be engaged in that work to take the gospel to the world. And they ask him an interesting question, don't they? Is it at this time you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? He says, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs, but you will receive the Holy Spirit, and with power you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So he didn't answer the question, did he? Oh, yes, he did. You see, they thought the kingdom was Israel. He's telling them, oh, no. The kingdom came through Israel. It'll come back to Israel, but the kingdom is from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Here is my Israel. And it's no longer found in this small little plot called the Promised Land. It's now coming from the world. This is my Father's world.
Jesus declared that the scriptures not only pointed to him, but pointed out that his truth, his gospel, his saving work on the cross, and triumphant resurrection were to be proclaimed to the nations. The church must make it our vision to truly reflect God's heart for missions. Join us again next time as we continue with our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request His Heart, Our Vision, or simply ask for message number 11424. Again, that's message number 11424. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. That includes shipping and handling. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Visit us online at briarwood.org. Just like liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity and topics such as motivation, mission, and message, revoice theology, and the tie between progressive Christianity and critical theory. To order this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. That's briarwood.org/progressive CD. Again, our address, In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. This is an outreach of the Briarwood Pulpit, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America, Birmingham, Alabama. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.